listener production.
Hello and welcome to Footy Talk. Footy Talk is your place for the latest news, interviews, analysis from the world of AFL. And isn't there a lot going in as we prepare for round five? We've come back from Gather Round. We've had an absolute ball over there and there is lots to discuss. We're going to talk about Carlton. Are they the hot tip for the premiership? Well, we talk about Melbourne, we talk about the Cats, of course, but the Blues could do something special this year. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Sam Walsh back this weekend. He'll be a huge story. Did we see a white flag from Essendon? And what is next for Darcy Parrish? You're going to get to that. Abby's favourite moments, of course, the Jordan Clark controversy. Lots coming up on Footy Talk. A big hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Monday. Footy Talk is your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And what a spectacular round of football we had over there for Gather Round. Can't wait to dive into it. My name is Jay Clark. I'm joined by the queen of our screens. It's Abby Holmes, of course. So hello to you, Abby.
Hello. Hello. What an incredible weekend it was over in South Australia. I am bloody exhausted, yes. But I am so happy. It was such a vibe over there. Not just the football that we saw. We saw some cracking games and some doozies. Let's just bypass that. But the vibe, right? Elder Park was going off literally from the wee hours every morning. They had the zip line. They had the torp over the Torrens. Like, it was all going on. Pubs and restaurants and bars were pumping. South Australia did it again.
I heard Dale Thomas was best on from a media perspective. He really partied hard later on Saturday. A little bit dusty on Sunday, but a courageous performance to get through the call, I think, for Triple M. You look quite fresh, so it does feel like quite a social time for a lot of the football media.
Well, I don't drink, so that's probably how.
You have more energy than a lot of the people I'm seeing on Monday morning, so well done to you, Abby. So what was your favourite moment for Gather Round? Now, I think we're expecting some big news today on Monday about potential game in the Barossa for next year, which I feel like is going to take the whole Gather Round to another level.
Oh,
because, well, if you like a show, then it's the world's best place, isn't it? So we're giving it a big tick. What was the defining moment or your favourite moment of the weekend?
The Hague station in the media centre was pretty good. The chocolate station. I'm the biggest chocoholic. But look, there were so many amazing moments.
Yep.
As I said, being a South Australian and seeing the town, it's always great, Adelaide, but to see it come to life on the footy front, have all 18 clubs in the one place represented in hats and scarves and Guernseys.
Yep.
But look, 38% of ticket sales were from interstate football supporters, up from 32% in year one. So to see that growth so early, you look at the first year of Gather Round last year, they had 3 or 4 months to prepare for that. This was, you know, a 12-month period of planning and preparation and lead up to such a big weekend in South Australia. They had the Norwood Food and Wine Festival as well. It was school holidays. Like, it was just such an incredible vibe. And as I said, just walking around Elder Park and the footy festival and seeing smiles on faces, young boys, girls having a kick with their mum and dads and, you know, brothers and sisters, it was just such a really cool thing to be a part of.
Get your bookings early for next year, but I think the hotel and accommodations and various sort of stuff is going to fly off the shelves pretty quickly for next year.
I'm just going to say, though, there's already talk about where this is going to go in the future. Of course, Adelaide had a lockdown for 3 years, so that sees them through to 26. It will not work the same way in any other state or territory in the country. And I'm really a firm believer on that. South Australia is a die-hard AFL football state, first and foremost. It's a central corridor. It's, you know, 8-hour drive from the Victorian football clubs and the Victorian footy fans to drive over. Same from WA. It's the closest state, of course, to them.
It's going nowhere.
Queensland, New South Wales, let's have round zero there each year. I'm totally all for that. Mm-hmm. But they're not traditional football states. So it's like if we picked up Magic Round and dropped that into Adelaide, South Australia, everyone there would be like, what is this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that would be a similar response if it was vice versa and Gather Round did go to those northern states. So South Australia is perfect. They've shown it over the last 2 years or 12 months. And yeah, I just cannot see it working anywhere else.
It's going nowhere. Gather around. Well done, South Australian footy fans. Mm. It will light up next year. There's no doubt about that. I thought there were some major statements made on the field. Some obvious ones, some less obvious. And for mine, there's been talk, Abby, about Dustin Martin. Potentially he should retire this year. He had 30 possessions against St Kilda yesterday as they played, or looked like they were going to win throughout the first half. Dustin Martin, for me, looked like a guy, 30 possessions, 21 kicks, so much damage on the field. He looks like a guy, like he should be thinking about his next contract, whether it's going to be at Richmond or somewhere else. He can play for another 3 years. Like, he, to me yesterday, it was just such a big reminder about how impactful he is, how damaging he can be. And people talking about him finishing up, I saw someone who is in the exact opposite mood. So we know that he likes Sydney and he's got some friendships up there. If the Swans could afford him, or whether it's Gold Coast and Dimmer, etc., or maybe just punt road and keeping him a one club player, I thought he looked yesterday like a man who could go on for several more years.
100%. How impressive was he? But the great thing about Dustin Martin in his position right now is that the world is his oyster in terms of what he wants to do.
Whatever he wants.
Exactly right. Out of contract at the end of this year.
Yep.
But if he wants to play on and you know, be a one club player at Richmond with what he's producing on the football field, that is warranted.
Yep.
But if he does want to retire, if he doesn't have that same love for the game, which is certainly not what we're seeing on field, because his performances have been incredible to start this season. Mm. But I don't know. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I've mentioned many times on Footy Talk before that he is Batman. He only comes out to play games and then we don't see him. You don't see him in a cafe or a restaurant or anything.
Yep.
And if it is the fact that, you know, he wants to go to Queensland, Gold Coast Suns or Sydney, where football isn't, you know, he can walk down the street and go about his business kind of thing.
Yep.
I don't know. I love the fact that he has done what he's done for the Richmond Football Club, but it wouldn't surprise me if we saw him in the Gold Coast Suns colours next year.
Well, me neither. And Luke Hodge, who was a Hawthorn champion, he went to Brisbane. Did that affect his legacy? I don't think it did.
No.
Like, do we think any less of Luke Hodge because he went to Brisbane in an attempt to try and teach the kids? I thought his legacy grew. His reputation grew. I agree.
And that's, you know, Brisbane were down the bottom for a number of years. Mm. And Hodgie went there, as you said, with his leadership and trying to grow and, you know, help the young kids that are coming through. And I think he's done that beautifully. Yep. So if anything, it's helped Hodgie's legacy.
I think that maybe there's a little bit less in the whole one club thing. I could be wrong. It's a touchy subject for a lot of people. What about the statement from the Cats? They're 4-0, Abby. I remember Lee Montagne saying this before the start of the season. Keep your eye on the Cats. Hard fought win over the Western Bulldogs, despite missing Danger, despite missing Cam Guthrie. Like, it is extraordinary what is happening down the highway. And now when you have a look at the ladder, I know it's a bit all over the place and they've played four games, 16 points. They play North Melbourne this weekend. They're going to go 5-0. Chris Scott seemingly in the coaching form of his life. Grian Myers looks like All Australian. Yeah. Where did Ollie Dempsey come from? Tanner Bruin looks like more than just a link-up player. Jeremy Cameron had 27 possessions. Tom Hawkins is playing a bit part role. And they've got a bloke, Toby Conway, who might be the best young ruckman in the competition. Like, it is, I feel like they've just flown under the radar, the Cats, and they're sitting one out, one back, ready to jag another top four berth. We've talked about Melbourne, we've talked about Carlton. Why can't the Cats win it again?
It's funny, isn't it? You know, too old, too slow, they win a flag. And then the following year, they slip and they miss finals altogether. And I think that's where we've all gone wrong, right? is the think that they're on the decline.
We fell into it. Yep.
And Tyson Stengel as well, he kicked another four. Like, he's another one that can just turn a game on its head.
Had a poor year last year.
Mm. But if he's up and about, you've got, you know, your twin towers, Hawkins and Cameron, but then all of these little zippy, you know, smalls at their feet that can kick bags of four.
Yep.
I definitely think, as you just said off air as well, they're looking at 5-0 potentially.
Yep.
But as you said, Parfitt, Bruin, even Jai Clark. And Boo Parfitt, he is a great story here because he's missed a lot of footy. He's been out of the side, in the side, and he's somebody that's got an opportunity early in the year here and he's got a point to prove. He does not want to get dropped, and it's evident in his performances so far.
And he tackles. So where Dangerfield goes forward or some of these other Cape Crusaders play offense, he's the Lambert to the Dusty. He covers off on the man. He does a lot of that defensive stuff. He rolls his sleeves up because he plays an important role.
One thing with Jai Clark, what was he, game 2 or 3 on Easter Monday?
Yep.
Right? has to be more than that. He's played a handful of games, yep. Right? Center clearance, Cats.
Yep.
Just drives out of that center circle and hits Jeremy Cameron on the lead, and it was an absolute bullet. I think it was in the second quarter, and yep. I've just gone, shit. This kid, he's played a handful of games, and yep. have a look at what he's doing.
Yep.
That little passage of play is just a taste for all of the Cats fans out there that, yep. yeah, get excited about this young midfield.
He's been dubbed the mini Selwood, and I'm starting to see it. Mm. What does Jack McRae do? So he yep. was left out in the half forward flank. He's now made the sub. He's one of their highest paid players. Three-time All-Australian,
yep.
five-time top three place in the best and fairest. He's got three more years to run on a contract that's pretty decent, Abby.
Yep.
Other clubs are looking at this guy going, we know he can still be an A-grader, but he can't really get a game at the Bulldogs. Mm. We know Bailey Smith is weighing up his options. He could be in the blue and white hoops at Geelong or the black and white stripes at Collingwood next year. We know the Dogs are going to re-sign Jamara and got to re-sign Tim English. Do you feel like there's a spot for Jack McRae in the Western Bulldogs side going forward? Because I personally am very unsure.
Yeah, I'm unsure as well. And look, this is the ebbs and flows of AFL footy, isn't it? And throughout a long career, you just touched on, you know, Jack McRae's, I guess, you know, career so far and, yep. and some of the incredible things that he's achieved. But
is he done? Is he over the hill?
I certainly don't think he's done, no. But in the way that the Dogs are playing at the moment, their system, their structure, they just can't fit him in there.
Mm.
So it is. It's something that you certainly have to weigh up when you've got a number of years left on your contract and you're not getting the opportunities at your current club. You want to be playing week in, week out, don't you? And I'm positive that there are clubs out there that would absolutely love the services of Jack McRae on their list.
Imagine if there was a mid-season trade period coming up in a couple of months. Mm. He would be 1A on every club's list, yep. I think, because would the Bulldogs take, I don't know, top 20, top 30 draft pick for him? You know, as they bring in guys like Riley Sanders and Harvey Gallagher, names Luke Beveridge mentioned,
yeah.
I think he's in a really fascinating spot. What did you make of the controversy in the West on Saturday? The descent that the West Australians got a Jordan Clark poster in their newspaper today is to, you know, support him. Do you think we should have a captain's call? Like, do you think we should, in that moment, so it was clearly touched, right? Mm. We saw it touched off James Aish's arm. So possibly, you know, Fremantle were got the rough end of the stick there. Do you think the clubs, Fremantle, should be able to say, hold on, captain's call, let's go to the tape and review it in the last 5 minutes of a game? Or is that sort of just unworkable?
It's like tennis as well, when they had the challenges. What did you have, three per match or something a few years back? But I think you should.
Yep.
And look, another example of this is the Adelaide-Sydney game last year, right? If I'm Ben Keys there, if I'm Jordan Dawson there, I'm sitting on the ground kicking and screaming until the AFL reviewed that goal.
Yep.
And look, this is a perfect example of it. And unfortunately, the field umpires did miss this one, and it was an absolute doozy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I am on board with the captain's call, but it has to be, what, one? You can't...
Yeah, it has to be a game, like a match-winning sort of moment.
100%.
Yeah, like I reckon real late.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You look at that incident isolated. Mm. Things like this happen all the time with touched balls that are marks, you know, in the middle of the ground or whatever. But because this one has ultimately decided the result of a game of football, that's why we're all up in arms. And then, of course, the Clark stuff on the back of that as well.
Yeah. So the descent.
The descent.
Yes. It was a harsh call, but we saw 12 months ago, like you couldn't even... you couldn't even raise your arms in protest at an umpire, like even gesticulate sort of
players know that
kindly.
As well. Yeah.
So we've sort of, that's sort of fallen away. But then when there was, you know, aggressive swearing, then that's where the umpire's blown his whistle. It was sort of described as a bit of an overreaction. I don't mind it, to be honest. How worried are you about the Essendon Football Club? So you saw.
Goodness me.
The Port Adelaide demolition job.
Yep.
Out of the middle in particular, Jason Hall-Francis had 7 centre clearances. Essendon had 6 in total. So that's what that tells you need to know about what happened in the middle of the ground.
Mm.
Which way is Essendon going to go from here? So round 5, I am absolutely fascinated.
Yep.
Friday night, under the spotlight versus the Western Bulldogs. What way does the Bombers season go from this point?
We need to see a response. That's what we need to see, because what they dished up on Friday night was very disappointing.
Yes.
I was so, this was the, you know, I was looking forward to many games across the weekend, but this one in particular, Friday night footy.
Yep.
Essendon had just rolled the Saints.
Yep.
A really mature win on their behalf. They're coming in against Port Adelaide, who were coming in off that loss.
Yep.
So I was really excited about this one. And from quarter time, it just went,
it was over.
Yeah. And so, you know, if I'm Brad Scott, I would have eyeballed each and every one of those players that went out there on the weekend and said, that is nowhere near good enough.
Mm.
It's nowhere near good enough. So I have no doubt in my mind that he would have done that. And then what we see on Friday night is the important factor here. Do they respond and show us exactly what they're capable of, which is what we need to see and what we had seen in patches throughout the first few weeks of their season? Because Friday night was, I was really quite flat on Essendon.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a powerful performance from Rose
Eagles. It was. And taking nothing away from Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
They were incredible. But I think everybody expected more from the Bombers.
Yes, 100% me. Now, Darcy Parrish is someone we pump up a lot. We know he gets the big possession numbers. He got the big contract last year. It took time to do it. He had 21 touches, including 15 handballs and 3 tackles against Port, 11 contested possessions. Does he do enough? Does he do enough? Well, and this is the thing, like Darcy Parrish, it's like, is he an A grader? Well, you know, at times he has looked like it, but on the road in a big game on Friday night, for him to have 20 touches, I don't know. Like, you can do it when you're winning, but can you stand up when it's going against you? And I reckon he'd be the one Bomber on Friday night's performance who you talk about a response.
Yep.
I reckon it's all eyes on Darcy Parrish.
Definitely. And he's somebody who's proven to be a big accumulator of the footy.
Yep.
Often we've seen him with 35, 40 touches in a game of football. But it is. It's the impact that those disposals are having. And 15 handballs, which, you know, might have gone a metre, 2 or 3 or 5 or however far these handballs are gone. But you need his disposals to be, you know, either off half back, getting them going through the middle of the ground, or those kicks inside 50 to hit targets. That's what you need to see from Darcy Parrish.
Yep.
It's not the little cheap handballs out the back. So we'll see if he can respond on Friday as well.
I want to see Nate Caddy in the black and red jumper. I know he had lost a tooth and needed some dental work a couple of weeks ago after a hit in the head in a VFL game. But
that's my worst nightmare.
Losing a tooth.
Oh, having a tooth knocked down in footy.
You definitely wore your mouth guard all the time.
All the time.
Yes.
All the time. I don't want to lose one of my pearly whites.
Joe Danaher doesn't wear a mouth guard. He chews chewy. It freaks me out.
I think too risky.
Mouth guards are absolutely must wear. We digress. Right, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to come back in a second, talk about Toby Green. He's facing another issue in regards to the MRO, as well as Lachie Fogarty. Sammy Walsh might be back to superstar for the Carlton Football Club in this clash against Adelaide. We'll discuss that in a second. This is Jay Clark and Abby Holmes on Footy Talk. Welcome back to Footy Talk for your Mondays. Footy Talk is your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. Gold Coast versus GWS, Abby. I know you're a big fan of GWS's social content.
Yeah.
Didn't they light it up this week?
The Expansion Cup.
Did you get a laugh out of that?
Hilarious.
Yep.
That video that they put up, and they had a number of different players, but the Aaron Cadman picked number one thing, and he said, you know, in that moment, all I could think about was playing in the Expansion Cup at Mount Barker.
Yes.
Like they're so good on social media, the GWS Giants. If you do not follow them, Footy Talk fans, jump on board, give them a follow, because they absolutely nail it.
I think Jacob Gaynor is the man who does their socials, and
whatever
he's getting paid, he deserves
double it.
Triple. I've never met him, but he seems like an absolute genius. What did you make of the actual game, GWS Gold Coast? I was keeping an eye on the score.
Yeah.
The Suns looked like they were going to cause a boil over there for a bit.
Dimmer will be really happy with what he's got. You know, and the scoreline of 117-89 doesn't really reflect it, because it was a real arm wrestle for the Giants for a large part of the game. They just kicked away late. But I'm pretty happy with what we're seeing from the Suns, and you can just see the development, the growth that football club is seeing. Sorry, I just spat across there. Did you see that?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. too involved in what you were saying.
But look, King once again popping up with 3. Anderson, 33-1.
Yep. So,
and Matty Rao, 26-1. Their mids are hitting the scoreboard. But one player who I was super impressed with was Mac Andrew.
Oh.
24 disposals, 16 intercepts. possessions. 16.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. 10 marks, 7 rebound 50s. So he is starting to come into his own.
Yep.
And against such a quality, you know, GWS side, I thought the Suns held their ground. They played really well, and there's so many positives to take out of it for them. But from the Giants' perspective, they get another win. Green with 5. Hogan, once again, finds his way to 4 goals. He's now leading the Coleman with 16.
But all Australian?
At this point in time, have to be up there.
Looks a lock, doesn't he?
He looks, yeah. And what an incredible story that is. I love that GWS put out another thing on social media and said, just a reminder, we acquired Jesse Hogan in exchange for pick 51.
That's good, wasn't it?
But Toby Green, did you see that incident? Yes. Does he have something to worry about?
He does.
Okay.
And he's been a good boy for a good 12 months, Toby, but I think that dumping tackle on Mac Andrew, it's just those ones that the AFL really want to stamp out of the game. He just unfortunately leaned Mac Andrew's head and sort of dumped him into the ground. Mac Andrew remonstrated straight away. That's not a good look for Toby. Yep. So people will say, oh, this is the Toby tax and all that sort of stuff. I think it was just the classic dumping tackle that he'll get a one-match suspension for.
Yep.
So that'll hurt him. But I think Toby's been an outstanding leader for his football club for 12 months now. And this is just another blip on the radar. I don't think, you know, my knickers certainly aren't in too big of a twist because of it. But I'm with you on Mac Andrew. I hadn't seen that before from him.
No.
We've seen the draft stuff and the hype about his athleticism and his agility. He was initially tied to Melbourne for the NGA, but because he went so high, I mean, they didn't get him. Mm. They'd love to have him. But it was quite extraordinary, some of the fancy footwork.
Yeah, it's nice to see it. And when you know what these young players are capable of and you haven't yet seen it, but then it's like they arrive, isn't it? And another one for me, my boy, Jed Walter, he kicked his first goal in AFL footy.
Yes.
I kid you not, this kid, everybody out there, Charlie Curnow, but 18.
Yep.
Like it blows my mind. And we've only seen a very small sample size from him.
Yep.
But he's quick, he's agile, he's so good in the air and ground level. He defends as well as attacks.
Yep.
Just watch this space on him too.
I like that. So we're going to finish on Sam Walsh. So Lachie Fogarty, one match suspension. Looks like he's going to be sidelined. They play Adelaide, your mob, who are really struggling, the Crows.
Yeah.
This looks like a fifth straight win coming up for the Carlton Football Club. Sam Walsh back in. He's going to add another gear to that midfield. Who have you got? Who is your... Let's take out the two Sydney teams at the moment. There's been a lot of discussion about them, GWS and Sydney. If you've got Geelong, Carlton, Melbourne, who have you got? Who would be your tip as the premiership front runner at this stage? Everything you've seen from Carlton, everything you've seen from Geelong, and the Melbourne Football Club are building their own extraordinary story. Who is your pick at this stage if you could lock it away? Take the Sydney teams out of it for a moment.
Sydney teams out of it?
Yep.
Carlton. Yeah.
And they get Sam Walsh back.
And they get Sammy Walsh back.
So if his back is okay and he can overcome those issues, I feel like it's a huge swing because he provides a lot of that outside run. They're doing it from halfback. They're counter-attacking and scoring, not just relying on scores from stoppage. They're doing it a different way. But Sam Walsh is key to
absolutely.
That.
And that's the thing. You look across every line, right? Forwards, mids, backs. Carlton, tick, tick, tick.
Yep.
Right? The Cats, you know, you could argue the same thing, but their midfield is so young.
Yep.
So they might come out and perform really well one week, but then have those dips because, once again, they've only played a handful of games or, you know, under 50 games, whatever it might be. So I think this Carlton side is prepped and primed and ready to go to really be a contender this year.
Wouldn't it be an amazing story? Haven't won a flag since 1995. I can imagine September with the Blue Baggers up and about. Patrick Cripps strutting around doing his
new
thing.
New baby, Coda Cripps.
The new dad. I love Cripper.
He's the best.
What a man he is. Righto, thanks so much for joining us on Footy Talk for your Mondays. Leave us a review, give us some thoughts, like, subscribe, all that stuff. We've got the St Kilda Mafia coming up tomorrow. Lee Montagna and Nick Rewalt, they'll be winding a few up, no doubt about that. Thanks so much for joining us on Footy Talk. It's Jay Clark and Debbie Holmes. We'll see you next week.
Bye.